good evening. I must apologise to Anne-Marie, I really am just the warm-up egg. This is called Kyrie, you know the Latin Mass, Kyrie Eleison. And the poems here are all in some way under the umbrella of religion, and they reflect a time that for a lot of you will seem either way, way, way back, or your dad told you about it. The first one, is this okay? Is this working?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay. The Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden had a nettle patch, dock leaf bandages, hosts of white-haired dandelions, buttercup doubloons, daisies periscoping through a cobbled yard. The tap was by a wooden gate. Fetching water in July was like stealing the sun. On frosty nights, I carried in a slice of moon, a bucket full of stars. The garden had no snake, no tree, no apples, and still a voice called on behind the cloud, thundered its expulsion writ, decreed bread must be earned by the sweat of your brow. My garden did exist. I had the sepia proof, captured by a brownie box camera. The Seri smiles, a family ghost framed against a blazing wall of ivy. Home on holiday, I passed the barred and bolted gate, and there he is, all cap, tattoos, and navy uniform, that flaming angel with a sword. We used to have missions by the Redemptorists every year. They'd come along for a week, and you had the kind of good cop, bad cop act. And we also had Duffy Circus used to come every year, Mission Week. They turned up once a year like Duffy Circus, the two Redemptorists, one with blow-lamp tongues dripping paint from the city's peeling soul, the other's brushes dipped in tins of beatific light. Keen as Pentecostal wind, they stormed the pulpit steps in black berettas and soutanes, rosaries dangling from their belts like rope ladders to heaven. One stroked embers of fear, made words glow like burning coals, indelibly searing his picture of hell and fanning its flames with eternity's huge bellows. The other squeezed words to diamonds, jewels in the Virgin's tiara, a celestial treasure hoard. Their leaving was the folding of tents, amen to trapeze strongman, the chair and whip in the Daniel cage. Back then to the tiptoe soot-soft words of the curate at St. Michael's, his index finger writing on sand the secrets of heaven and hell, his passport stamped at both borders. It's very difficult then, it's always difficult, very, very difficult then being different. And if somebody was an unmarried mother, she was likely to be very different. This is called the Statue of the Virgin. Two of my mother's close friends were unmarried mothers at the time. It wasn't easy for them, and they each had a son. And they were the apple of their eye, grew up to be incredible young men, and they had wonderful lives. But it wasn't easy for people at the time. The Statue of the Virgin. Just imagine the Statue of Our Lady there, looking down at different people in the church. See how judgmental she might not have been. Night lights flicker on her shrine like stars. The heavenly queen, first among statues, crowned in the beauty pageant of the soul. Her dress and veil almost flutter, painted in blue and white and immaculate light. You can smell the stone roses at her feet. She looks down from her pedestal, accepts with grace the litanies of praise, the hymns to Mary, Virgin Mother, Star of the Sea. A likely apparition at some grotto, acquainted with the repertoire from school nativity play to intimate pietas, she looks down at the children's daisy eyes opening towards the sun of bright tomorrows. The woodland's bluebell floor invites their feet. She looks down at the liver-spotted hands, the white cane tapping on the center aisle, reeds on harrowed foreheads, seasons of regret. She looks down at the girl, stanching tiny dams of tears, the girl whose secret was not whispered by an angel in her ear. And there's a section on the part of the Mass, and the introit obviously is about beginnings. In the Latin you have the intrui voluntari Dei, the incredificat juventutum mea. I will go unto the altar of God, to God who give joy to my youth. The stone steps to the church are smoother now, the stone steps slippery with Limerick rain. This was our theatre and concert hall, art gallery, and some would say museum. First step to the thrill of pageantry, gazing at the monstrance, cope, the cloth of gold, dazzled by the multicoloured light of stained glass windows, their jigsaw saints. The Pieta was not Carrara marble, but still echoed that Michelangelo. The extracts from Epistle and Gospel knitted to our golden treasury, and Hamlet and Lear had competition from the drama of Crib and Crucifix, our priest actors no less theatrical in seasonal vestments, again all male. A shy soprano in the gallery could dream the Traviata at the Met. All this and the comfort of belief, youth gifted with the joy of possibility, beckoning to feet on two stone steps, slippery with rain and holy water. And the title now, Kyrie, the response to Kyrie Eleison. For the times we did not gasp in awe at sparrows on a twig, Kyrie Eleison. For not preserving love at the right temperature, not checking the humidity, Kyrie Eleison. For taking sides in the struggle between mongoose and snake, Kyrie Eleison. For burying the talent in a napkin, then not being able to find the spot, Kyrie Eleison. For not walking on water when all it needed was the buoyancy of faith, Kyrie Eleison. For thinking to forget the dead was to let them rest in peace, Kyrie Eleison. For presuming the unrepentant thief did not enter paradise, Kyrie Eleison. For imagining, because you don't have a website, perhaps you don't exist, Kyrie Eleison. This is the part of the Mass. I come to the Pater Noster, and with the Pater Noster, my father was killed in the Second World War. I don't remember him. I was only a year old. And there's the in St. John's Gospel, you have this intimate Abba Father. But I said I didn't know my father, but so I have to make something about God the Grandfather. Pater Noster. We know God through analogy, the theologians say, like us, but utterly other. I never said Abba Father, he died too young, but I knew my grandfather. He's dawn solo each morning, he's rat-a-tat-tat in the bedroom door, signaling my mother's resurrection. His stories by the winter fire, creating a shiver despite the blue flame coals, and mostly jumping on the bar of his bike for the spin to his quarterly plot, where Blackbird's lyrics were sweeter than a singing from any golden bough of Yeats's Byzantium, where he dug potato drills while I played in the sun and in his shadow. Fathers, problematic. But God the Grandfather, I can easily understand. I would jump up on the bar of his O'Reilly any day and listen to his stories while he pedaled all the way to an eternal paradise that I already know by analogy. One more. Must be going well if I got time for one more. On hold. I went to the church and it was playing something like canned music. It was Gregorian chant. And, I got a bit distracted, lost my concentration. And before I knew where I was, I'll just back listen to the music again. It's a bit like being trying to get on the line and having 10 music played and losing your turn at the exchange. On hold. Apart from God and me, the church was empty. God behind the tabernacle's golden gates, me kneeling on the center aisle's back bench, where the last in, first out brigade would slink in late for Sunday mass, crouched, one knee on their cloth caps, sprinters in their blocks. The sanctuary lamp's red glow announced that he was in, and then the wall-to-wall canned music, the far from plain chant of cowled and cloistered monks, anointing with an ancient Latinate balm, like some celestial call center putting me on hold. When silence dropped its nets, it caught me mute as Zechariah before naming John. Again, the resonant monastic vows, the platter of bass and tenor notes honeyed by faith. And my turn missed at the exchange. Perhaps he'll call me back. He has my number. Thank you very much.